ability. Phil, are you a gamer? Phil Montero with us. Welcome, sir.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Hi, Phil.
It's been a while.
Fantastic. Are you a gamer? Do you break up the monotony of working anywhere with games?
You know, I am a long-time gamer, but I've been so busy between business stuff and chasing around after my little two-and-a-half-year-old boy, I haven't had much time for I'm looking forward to him entering the gaming stage because it'll give me a built-in excuse to play a lot.
You bet.
When he gets about 5 or 6, you guys will be on it again.
Oh, yeah, and he'll be kicking my butt at Madden. And
there you go.
Be over.
All right, speaking of the anywhereoffice.com, you guys have been doing some online. We talked last half hour about a website called Lynda, LYNDA.com, which is an e-learning site to learn about all kinds of technical software, et cetera, and stuff like that. You do anywhere office type training where people can learn to work from anywhere, learn to manage teams from anywhere as a work from anywhere consultant as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, you were talking about e-learning being the future, Sam, and I
yes,
do
sir.
Very much believe that. And, you know, one of the main workshops that we currently offer, which is called The Art of Virtual Leadership, one of the things we found when we were spreading the word and trying to encourage companies to adopt flexible work environments and virtual teams was that the bottleneck tended to be in the management area, and where managers were either very challenged by how to do this or resisted it to some extent. So we kind of then brought that to bear and developed this workshop to teach people how to manage distributed workers and how to kind of bring a team together and build trust and accountability with people that you don't see. And we do, although we do offer it live, we most often teach it very much along the way you were talking about, Sam. We teach it over a teleconference call with a shared meeting platform, and it is very interactive. We keep the groups smaller in size, so there's ongoing discussion. And since then, I've also done a recorded on-demand version also, like you were talking about, so people can review it. So we now have a recorded version of that, too. And it seemed to be somewhere where there was a distinct need for people to embrace this working style.
How much is the course?
The on-demand version is $197, and that gives you 60 days access to it, so you can watch it and rewatch it as often as you want. It is a recording of a live class, so you actually hear, although you can't ask us questions because it's an on-demand version, there's obviously ways to ask questions via email, and you can hear all the questions that were actually asked during the workshop. They get access to all the downloads and the resources, that you would get if you were taking it live.
That's fantastic. I think a lot of these managers don't necessarily resist working with people remotely as much as they don't understand it and they don't know how to go about it. Whenever somebody doesn't understand something, it's kind of out of their comfort zone. I don't think they resist because they're really opposed to it as much as they resist because they're saying, well, you know, I can't implement something that I don't know how to. So I think this is a huge way to give somebody the kind of the leapfrog into saying, hey, believe it or not, most of what you know really applies. Just consider the following. I mean, it's not that simple, but it's close, right?
It is, and one of the things there's two real tenets that we stress. One is that it's a lot of small adjustments that lead to big results. So we're not saying that you need to scrap all the management theory and everything you've learned about being a good manager. In fact, in most cases, it's kind of going back to some of the basics of management that you've kind of let slide because you're so used to working with people that you see. So the adjustment isn't as difficult as you might think it is. A lot of times it's adjusting to choosing the right technology or tools, and then how do you use those tools thoughtfully to build that trust and encourage informal communication with people, because that stuff happens naturally when you're in the office. But when you're distributed, you have to be a little bit more conscious or deliberate about making that happen. So that's kind of the shift we help them embrace.
And I've got kind of a little phrase that I believe really goes a long way to helping people understand. Sure, you need the training course for implementation and to understand what little adjustments can bring big results and all those things. It takes time and it takes practice to do anything worthwhile. You know, you need to put the effort in. But I will say, if you could sum it up in one phrase, here's what it would be: learn to track results, not people. What do you think,
Absolutely.
Phil?
Absolutely, and that's one of the core tenets of working in a distributed environment like that. You know, there are some companies or some people that are being very aggressive with that, using what they call ROWE, a results-only work environment, where there's really almost no boundaries on what time these people need to be in work. As long as the job is done and all the tasks are taken care of, they're in full control of their flexibility. And companies like Best Buy, and I read recently that The Gap has started to embrace that, and it's encouraging to me to see people not only shifting where you work, in which case where some of them keep the same 9-to-5 kind of structure, but they just allow people to work from anywhere, but actually when and how you work. And that's really impressive to me when companies
I got a remote sales guy, and as long as he's sending emails to advertisers, I just say, hey, CC me into this stuff so I can see what's happening. And it does several things. One, it lets me know that he's working. Not that I suggest he's not. I'm just saying it gives me that comfortability. It also keeps me up to speed on what he's working on. But, man, if he's bringing in contracts and sending me credit cards to charge and sending me radio commercials to run and sending emails back and forth to people that I can see he's working on stuff, I just don't care what he does. As long as he's bringing in that money, it's all right with me.
It's so true. What makes me laugh is that, you know, when anyone goes to college or a university model, we all work this way. I mean, you're given tasks, you're given deadlines that you have to make, but nobody really cares when you're working on your paper or your project. As long as you have those deliverables done, and when it comes time for the final project, you can deliver it, then we're all left to our own devices. But somehow we leave that model and then come to the workforce, and it's almost like they take it away and scale it back. And I understand that thinking maybe was needed at one point for the way we worked in a more industrial society. But with information workers and knowledge workers today, there's no reason why that same flexibility couldn't exist.
The where you want to work if you're on a farm is a little different because you can't work off the farm if you're working on the farm. But to me, still, that result-based reality is important. I mean, hey, man, if you don't get the wheat out of the field, buddy, we're not going to eat, right?
It's true. The bottom line is, does the work get done, and have you achieved the goals that you set and needed to be achieved?
And in the collegiate world, nobody tracks you, but hey, we can tell pretty well, buddy, when you turn in your papers if you're not putting in the time, and we can tell pretty well when the tests come, especially the essay type scenarios or whatever, if you don't know what you're talking about and you haven't put in your time, it's going to be evident. It just is.
Yeah. Oh, it's very true. And the other thing is that it's not only companies or larger companies, kind of what we're talking about now, that are taking advantage of this, but I think with today's economy, you're seeing a lot more freelancers, entrepreneurs, solo professionals are finding that they can cut costs by working from anywhere, not necessarily renting an office space. A lot of people are starting businesses because maybe they've gotten laid off or they're looking for a shift in their career, and they can use these same strategies and tools. For example, Jay, I know you were talking, you talk quite a bit about Google Docs, and I've become a big fan of that myself, and
right.
And as you said, you know, that working, and I'm also much like Jeremy. I think I'm starting to drink the Apple Kool-Aid, and you will probably find me becoming a Mac guy soon. And part of it is because I've made this shift to working with these working in the cloud, as they say. So much of
so
the applications I use are web-based that I can almost be operating system or platform agnostic. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Whether I'm on a Mac or a PC or what operating system I'm using, as long as I have access to some of these web-based services.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
It's pretty cool to have that, though, isn't it, where you can be just you can feel like, hey, I don't mind if my computer crashes so much. Yeah, it would be a bad thing, but it's not the end of the world.
It's
the
true.
Problem,
yeah, go ahead,
the problem is that you can think you're an agnostic when it comes to your platform, but once you become an Apple person, you'll become a religious fanatic, sir.
You'll be a convert.
But I'm a proof that you can go Mac and come back, because I used to be a Mac user way back when. I used to do a lot of desktop publishing and stuff and used a Mac, and then it came back to the PC side. But now at this point, I think I've had enough blue screens and DLL errors for a while, so I think I may jump ship and go in the other direction.
Absolutely.
Plus, I'm doing a lot more video and audio. We're doing a lot more video on the site and audio podcasting and that kind of thing, so the Mac really does excel at that kind of stuff.
How come with the, you know, environmental issues, with the, you know, it takes in the average city environment 20 plus minutes to get to and from work, et cetera, in many places more and more. How come online work or remote work or telecommuting or whatever term you want to use, work from anywhere, how come that hasn't really taken off even more and bigger? I mean, it's growing, no question. It's bigger than most people realize, but it's not as big as it could be by any means.
No, you know, and it's amazing. I've been doing this for about 13 or 15 years now, and they've been talking about this since the 70s as though, you know, it was going to explode within the next year. And it always seems to be slow, much slower than I would expect also to be embraced. And I think it's just because it's a fairly large change or a shift in the culture of a company or the way they think about work. And as I mentioned, there is this kind of struggle with management, and that's such a key piece. That I think that's, it's not that people don't want to work that way. I find that in most places, if you go into a company and ask employees if they'd want to work that way, they'd be the first ones to tell you, sure. Not everyone does, and it's not right for everybody, but a lot of them would embrace it. But the companies, you know, it's the same, you know, we do things, this is the way we've always done things, and companies are just slow to change. And I think the ones that are, you know, are going to, you know, fade away because you're going to have to learn to work this way. It's just the way it's happening now.
It's also interesting to me that a lot of times I've talked to a lot of businesses, and I'm certainly not the consultant you are in it, but I do consult for IT clients and stuff like that, and I have set up many work from anywhere environments for folks and stuff like that. But I find it fascinating. They either believe it's you work from the office or you work from home, and I stop them right at the beginning and say, you know what, that's not the two choices. Let's think about choice C. Choice C is that somebody might work one day a week from home, work out the kinks and the bugs. They might work from home in the mornings and after lunch come in. They might work from home but come in for meetings or come in for sales, you know, whatever. In other words, it's not one or the other. You can create kind of a hybrid that makes sense. You might have somebody come in at work from home for the first hour or two in the morning, then come in at 10 and miss all the traffic, and then work all day, and then leave at 3 and finish up an hour or two in the evenings. Anyway, the list goes on. We'll talk to Phil Montero more in seconds. TheAnywhereOffice.com is his website. This is TechWatch Radio on the Accent Radio Network. Back with you live, Sam and Jay talking tech on your favorite Tech Watch radio station. Phil Montero with us. TheAnywhereOffice.com is his website. He's a work-from-anywhere consultant helping folks learn to work from anywhere. And so I was mentioning it, you know, it's amazing that it hasn't been adopted a whole lot faster. There's a lot of resistance, a lot of concern. But it is bigger than most people think as well, so it's kind of a strange dichotomy, if you will. But I kind of want to know, Phil, you don't have to have people just only work from anywhere, or not the office, if you will, or work from home, or work in the office. Don't you think the hybrids are where most companies really are and where the best place to start is?
Absolutely, and it is a common misnomer that, that if you're telecommuting, first of all, that it only means home, and second of all, as you said, that it's kind of a full-time situation. In most cases, it is exactly the way you described it, Sam. You know, people are working. That's why, you know, we talk about the anywhere offices. It could be anywhere. Sometimes it's working from a client site because you're actually meeting with clients. It could be from a hotel room or an airport or a coffee shop. And as you mentioned, it doesn't have to be, you know, 5 days a week, 360, you know, some odd days a year. It's just having the flexibility to be productive where and when you want to be or need to be, and having that flexibility.
I find that fascinating. One of the most compelling reasons in my mind to adjust people's work schedules is to avoid drive times both ways. A lot of places, it takes 10 minutes to get home or to work if there's not a lot of traffic, and it's 25 or 30 if there is. I think just avoiding those times and saying, listen, dial in, check your voicemail from home, check some of your emails really quick, and then come into work an hour later or whatever. And I think, you know, half the time that would do a lot for people alone.
Absolutely. You know, I used to work live in the New York and the New Jersey area. And, I mean, I had a job where I was commuting, you know, sometimes 2 hours, 2.5 hours each way to work. And that's kind of part of where my passion for this was born, was just seeing the faces on all these people stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic and sitting there wasting time. I mean, I took advantage of it and learned to play harmonica while I was sitting in traffic, so at least I turned it into a positive in some way, but it is a large amount of wasted time. And it eats into people's work-life balance and time with their families, and that's just not right. There's no need for it, really.
I also think it's kind of valuable, too, if you want, just say, listen, why don't you work from home on Fridays? Or why don't you work from home half a day, 2 days a week? Or, in other words, start slow, work out the kinks, see how well it's working, learn about it. People just need to realize you can take baby steps on this stuff. It's not just a plunge, you know, jump in the pool.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we've got, right now we're in the process of rolling out a 13-part series of podcasts. It's actually a teleseminar that we kind of sliced up on how to evaluate kind of telework and how to put it into place. And there's a bunch of audios, a little 5 and 10 minute audios you can listen to on theanywhereoffice.com. And that's one of the things that we're talking about there, is exactly how does a company get started with this? And as you mentioned, it's you don't have to jump with both feet into the pool that way. You can try it out. Usually you do some kind of a pilot program, or you know, if you're doing a formal implementation like that, you pick some people, you let them start, you know, with an agreement that if it doesn't work, that you'll change it. And you're not going to get it right from the outset. You're going to have to work out the details and figure out which technology works and what doesn't and what communication style works. But it's all such worthwhile time to be spent in figuring that out.
Well, I just think of most successful businesses, if you really look at their core business today that makes them, you know, good money and is their bread and butter, you'll find out 9 times out of 10 the business started doing something slightly different, and over time they've kind of tweaked it and worked it around to where it makes sense, and they've kind of grown into what and who they are.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, and also, you know, you can't deny the business continuity aspects of this as well. I mean, I'm living in South Florida, and we're in the midst of hurricane season here, so we got our eyes on the Weather Channel, and at any time, you know, a storm could come through, people will be without power for weeks at a time. So being able to distribute your workforce and being able to pick up and go and work from wherever you need to and still keep the business flowing despite things like not only big weather storms but the little continuity interruptions, things like a pipe bursting in your house or a doctor's appointment or a sick child, all of it, there's so many benefits to embracing this flexible work style. And
even if people are sick, if they can do a lot of their work from home, even sick people will wake up because, you know, you just get sick of laying in bed. You can still wake up and do 15, 20 minutes. You almost end up getting a third of a day or a half a day of work done. Even if you're sick, if you're out on a Thursday or a Friday kind of over the weekend because people kind of feel like, hey, it's a way that I can keep up and still contribute, and you actually get more out of them that way. All right, last question before we let you go because we're running out of time. Are there studies done about if I'm a company and I have the average employee in an office – versus letting them work completely from home or completely from anywhere not in the office? In other words, I don't even have to have office space for them, if you will. Is there a difference in cost savings that on the average can be trackable?
Yeah, there's been a lot of studies done like that, you know, and the numbers vary, but in most cases you see it where it's approximately $10,000 to $15,000 a year that they save by allowing a company to work full-time off-site. And
so what percent on the average would it be to compare, you know, to have the employee? Do you see what I mean?
What percentage did you say?
Yeah, like what percentage would you save? If we had two identical businesses,
yep,
and I had my employees working from home and you had your employees in the office, if you will, mm-hmm. What difference percentage-wise would it be? How much percent would I save?
You know, I don't know. I haven't seen that exact figure quoted. I'm sure there's probably been a study like that. I'm not familiar.
Because my basic research shows you save about 30% per employee.
It probably sounds about right. Again, I think like part of it depends, you know, again, how wholeheartedly you embrace that. I mean, if you do away with the cubicle or you rent a smaller office space, I consulted with one company that literally had 50 consultants and they only rented out enough office space for 10 cubes. And people would work on a shifting basis. They would let people know. They did what they kind of called hoteling, where they would reserve a cube when they were going to be in that day. So, I mean, the cost savings for them was tremendous because they really embraced it to a full extent. In other cases, if you're letting people work from home but you still kind of have that larger office space and you're tentative to kind of go as further into it, I think, you know, the cost savings will be different. Do you still have a PC for them in the office, or do you really just let them use their home office PC?
I say you let them use your home office and you embrace it all the way, and many companies that I've seen even save closer to 50% when they get that aggressive.
Sure, and there's an increase in productivity usually as well, so you win on both sides of that.
Not only that, people are happier, people are more flexible, you get work out of people on weekends because they kind of feel like, well, you know, most people are relatively honest. They don't want to rip you off. They want to put in a good day's work. And if they took their doctor, or, you know, child to the doctor on Friday and they're kind of out for a little bit, a lot of people will just kind of jump on Saturday and pound off a few emails, and they feel good about kind of making that swap. And you find that most people, not everyone, of course, but most people are pretty honest when you track results and trust them.
Yeah, and that's really a big part of it. It's trusting people to do their jobs, and that trust goes in both directions. And it's one of the challenges, I think, with this is for managers in the company to trust the employees, but also for the employees to trust each other. And all of that trust is a very big element of you know, getting away from eyeball management and letting people work wherever they want.
But let's make it very clear, it's not all trust. You do got to track results, and you got to make sure that, hey, your business is running properly. But focus on the results, not the people so much. Hey, have people with great attitudes, track the results, and somewhere you meet in the middle for the most productivity I've ever seen. All right, Phil Montero, give out your website again.
Sure, it's theanywhereoffice.com.
All right, there's a lot of information up there to help you learn to work from anywhere. Thanks, Phil. We'll have you back.
Thanks. Great talking to you guys.
All right. For Jay Harrison and Sam Bushman, this is TechWatch Radio. If you want to email us anytime, we'd love to hear from you. Talk, T-A-L-K, at TechWatchRadio.com. If you want to download free archives of the show, share them with your friends and more, you can do so at TechWatchRadio.com. If you'd like to sign up for our weekly email talking about the things we discuss, the show notes, and the links to the things we discuss and more, we won't share your email address with anyone. Do so at TechWatchRadio.com. Thanks so much, and make it a great tech day, will you?